Welcome to iPodcast Magic Missile, where we play games and talk geek. Broadcasting every week from the New River Valley in the beautiful mountains of Southwest Virginia, we bring you audio from some of the most exciting games, new and old. No actual wizard spells here, just actual play from great games. This is iPodcast Magic Missile.
All right, sample collection team. You guys, so you've evaded the eel thing. It's swimming around up there. All right, no, you have the aggro of the eel thing. So you guys crawl down to the bottom. Mm-hmm. Where I guess they meet the guy, right?
Sure.
I'm doing the... Yes, okay. So it's sort of a big, fat demon with tiny horns on a chaise lounge.
See how I foreshadowed it?
Eating testicles?
No, so you crawl down, this is you two, a creature comes into view. It's sort of a round mouth with a lot of eyes around it, like not even a symmetrical series of eyes. Think like gibbering mouth or style, only just one big mouth with a bunch of teeth. And it's sort of spewing the gas out. This thing is pretty big. You can't see its whole body, but just the part that you're looking at, which you would guess is its head, is probably half the size of the fist. So it's pretty mondo. It's more of a building than a monster. Anyway, and as you crawl down the wall towards it, and you, like, swim towards it, you hear a voice in your heads. It's conveying to you information in sort of a conceptual manner, so it's not like words, it's more like ideas. But it's psychically aggressing you. You follow me? You don't look like you follow me.
It okay. Is...
Is it what's it saying?
I'm going to tell you what it's saying in a second.
Okay. Sounds cool.
Welcome, children of Earth. I have long expected you here. What is your wish?
I'll think pretty hard.
We're here to take your technology. We want to have the electroplasm generation capability.
Ah, well, you're welcome to it. You have only to invite me in.
That's cute, and I go on guns blazing, activating my ECM.
Okay.
I want to be the voice of reason here. We can make this thing work if we just work together. On an 8. Hold on there, Captain Fancy Pants.
That is actually his rank.
PCs mark XP for leaving peacefully, and NPCs can't address... Wait. Or NPC. Is that and or?
Voice of reason, tell me.
Neither PCs, both at. It's an and.
Right.
Yeah. 8 and 4 and a 7 and
also,
9.
Also,
yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Is it or?
No, I thought he gets respect on a 10 plus.
No one present can commit violence or confront another character as long as they hear your voice.
All right, this
on a 10 plus in addition if any other player. Oh yeah. No, only on a 10 plus if a player character leaves peacefully, they get XP.
Right.
So it does not restrict player characters at this point.
Yeah.
But it restricts NPCs from dealing us harm.
What are you trying to achieve, essentially, Duncan?
He wants you to he wants you to stop and listen to it. Right?
What'd you roll? Total?
An 8.
I got an 8 as well.
To interfere.
What were you trying to do?
I was literally going in guns blazing, activating my ECM, which affects their
telepathy.
Okay. Here, let's. Yeah. No. So you want to just kill this thing straight?
No, I'm just going in and I'm like, I'm going to extract this from you.
Well,
So Shade is going to start digging through its skin, essentially trying to get inside of it.
Oh, that's neat. Okay, well, actually, I'm going to say that those both happen. So, basically what happens is, Shade just gets down there and starts digging in, but it continues to converse with you undisturbed, almost like it doesn't even care. He's like, that one is inconsequential. I can see that you are a child of reason.
Have you not enjoyed all the marvels of my home that I have shown you generously in your brief visit here?
Oh, I enjoyed them. All right.
Yes,
but
I know. I can see everything that you've done.
Oh, God.
Yes. it actually shows you, like, just in a blip, like in a thought, everything that every member of your party has done since you landed here. Like, it's been watching you and knew everything you were doing all along. There was no point at which it did not have total perception of all of every individual on the Fist of Apollo's actions. It also shows you what everything that they were up to.
I want to connect with this guy.
All right.
I want to interfere.
You can't. You're not in this conversation anymore.
That's true.
Look, man.
I'm using my ECM.
To extract yourself from this conversation.
It's the size of a building. It's bigger than a building.
I see what he's trying to do here, but I'm gonna get to you. You're going to have a thing, okay? I promise I'm not going to leave you hanging this time.
No, that's fine.
All right. I got a 14.
So happy that he's the one doing this.
Chet,
the rookie, is the one having conversing with the giant entity.
All right, lay him on me, bro.
To full success.
Feel free to interrupt me at any time if you want to, Will. Don't let me like take this in a direction you're not happy with.
Oh, I'm very happy.
What do you want most right now?
Ah,
your sweet, sweet food.
Earth sounds great.
Yeah, he wants to add Earth to the collection of planets that he is connected to.
So, what can you do for Earth? And what would you do to Earth?
Ah, excellent questions. So, so what it conveys to you is that this thing is a... The electroplasm that pervades this planet and, like, you know, mutates everything here is sort of an extension of his mind, an extension of his being. And he makes all these disparate species get along with each other. Like, he's raised them up from, you know, worms crawling on the ground to a sentient race that has colleges and firefighters and all kinds of stuff like that. And then, so they've carried the electroplasm, which he can sort of, in a four-dimensional way, like, reach from planet to planet as long as something there is drawing him to it. Carrying them out to other planets, so that they're all about expansion, they're all about bringing people into the hive mind. So it's not a hive mind in the sense that the individual mice understand their connection with each other. They're largely unaware of the mind control that the Sliss exerts on them. But he's sort of, you know, subtly managing them and helping them be the best that they can be in line with the vision of the Sliss.
So if we take that electroplasm generating stuff home with us, we'll be bringing you right in our front door.
Oh, yes. In fact, it's more specific than that. It's not like there's a gland somewhere in his body that you could, like, pull it in with. It's more a matter of having enough mice on the planet that want it to be there. When you have
open your heart to the Sliss.
Yeah, when you have a saturated, mutated body, anywhere you go, you will start exuding it, and the Sliss will have its telepathic control over you and project out through the cloud from there. Basically, you all, well, okay, not you, you and you, And you. Super you. And maybe it's starting to work its way into you a little bit. Can be an electroplasm generator if you accept the Sliss into your heart.
So it was inside of us the whole time.
Yes.
Got it.
Okay, sorry.
Narrative question. It's a big panini crevice.
Uh-huh.
Full of substances that is the source of, like, a single organism's force on things.
Is it a metaphor?
Are they in a giant vagina?
Because you've heard everything I've made up so far. You understand that there are giant worms out there that have APCs and stuff like that. You've seen all the kinds of creatures in this world, so you know in your heart already.
In answer to your question, are we inside a giant vagina? We never left.
I read
my paper for the whole, since we've encountered this, and it's, that's no moon. That's a poon.
Well, clearly, Starfish knew in his heart.
Maybe you could start generating energy right now.
So there you have it.
Well, while Chet has been distracting it with the words and the talking and the explanation,
mm-hmm.
I've been evading this beast
mm-hmm.
and luring it closer and closer. And I'm going to spend an ace point and get in its face.
Get in the solicitor's face?
Yes.
Okay.
I am right there.
With the worm?
Right,
with the worm right behind me.
Call it the eel. Yeah, we've got too many worms already. It's really supposed to be worm.
The mega eel.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to spend another point to disarm, kill, or...
The sliss or the worm?
The sliss. Your choice. But one of those three things is happening. There is a very angry rocket followed by a very hungry eel.
Okay.
Coming right at it.
All right, well, I'm going to actually say that you fly right down its gullet, leaving the eel behind it. So Chet, your conversation is over on the side here, like, Strike is long out of sight now. Strike, like, got down there and just started, like, tunneling in and just burrowed into this thing, and it totally, like, no-sold it, right? It, like, wasn't even a thing. But at this point, it's like, ew.
What are you feeling right now?
I got an eel stuck in my throat. We're gonna have to continue this conversation later. I'm gonna have to dedicate some attention to this one.
This is an out of context question. What are you feeling right now? I mean, this is a...
No, I know.
I have all three.
That was okay. What I was saying. Oh, what I'm feeling right now is my serene unflaggability is slightly flagged. I knew you were asking in context, and I was answering in context. Sorry, I wasn't clear. So you the eel is lodged, but it's thrashing about and it's doing a little bit of damage, and the Sliss is going to have to like spend some effort to try and re mind control it. You come out in a chamber, basically. As you're flying
in. So I'm inside the Sliss?
Yes. Yes,
you went down into its gullet. You are in it.
Yeah.
I see.
Actually, Strike, I'm this is you too.
Oh, I just want to see Dana's thing real quick.
Okay.
You're better than me. I might be better than you.
Kamikaze?
Yeah.
It's actually on my sheet.
It's actually open, no, but it's first here. I mean, it's very simple. Because I'm one two experience away.
This is not you destroying it.
I wanted Strike to come like digging into the side of the chamber at the same time here. So you come out of this chamber and then Strike like peels a wall open and like skitters in as well. It's like, oh hey Rocket. So you guys are together in the chamber.
Good job, Rocket.
Fire all the missiles.
Yeah, start shooting.
I've got a stun gun.
I'm gonna assess the situation actually.
Oh, okay.
What's going on?
This is curious. What's a 7 on, or a 9 on that?
Just one question.
Ah, I know. The exact question I want to ask. Where is it going to be the weakest?
Well, you get the impression that this whole chamber maybe exists to... I mean, like, it's basically a stomach, but there's no obvious exits. But, of course, you've recently experienced this kind of thing where just because there's no obvious exits doesn't mean there aren't any actual exits. You need to find the way out that it doesn't want you to find. That would be its weakness here.
Okay. Want to try and assess the situation?
Sure.
That's a 7. No. What is the enemy hiding?
Ah, what indeed is the enemy hiding? Did you want to...
I have an idea.
Okay. The Sliss... At this point, you can tell the Sliss is incredibly massive. The bit that you were seeing at the bottom of that hole was probably just a tiny part of its whole body. But you have spent some time recently inside of Vermilith. You have, seen all kinds of enemy mecha-type stuff in action. You are pretty convinced that there is somewhere in here another dude. Like, maybe there's a guy driving this whole big thing.
Mm.
So that would be what it's hiding.
The wizard behind the curtain. Pay no attention to
the wizard behind the curtain, yes.
What's up? I wrote my thesis on mice technology, and I've seen stuff like this before.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and wrap my head around this.
All right.
And that's an 11.
All righty then. The gullet is a fade, and the digging that you were doing around in it, like, it's weird that the rocket flying down the gullet at full speed, and you, like, you know, digging through. Now, how do you come out at the same place at the same time? Maybe you're not even supposed to, maybe this is where it wants you in the body. So, for example, going back up the gullet would be contrary. It expects you to try and go deeper.
Gotta go right to go left.
Well, I would say you have to go up. The head is the head. The stomach is usually not where the cockpit is.
All right, Rocket, let's go back to the head and start blowing this thing up from the top down.
All right.
So, yeah, do you want to do something before I describe what's going on up there?
Yeah. Sliss, I'm sorry, but I'm going to accept you into my test tube, and if that works out for you, then I wish you the best of luck. It's certainly my orders, and I don't begrudge you any of it. And then I'm going to go back down to where Strike was ripping up in holes. Get a nice big test tube full of Sliss goo.
Uh-huh.
Put a top on it, and jet.
All right.
I'm going back to the ship, guys, with my sample of the thing we came for.
You know, it's a lot easier going out.
Because it's just like...
Yeah, you can just ride that thing right out of there. So, those of you on the surface, I'm not going to go back to you guys for a second, but it's really like, suddenly, Roar just like, whee! With the big test tube.
Hey, Starfish, did you take the panel? Did you get the rocket?
I fell into the hole with it.
Yeah. No, that grapple is still going on.
I'm falling. I'm spiraling down with it.
So you guys get back up, and the eel is been bit off. It just bit the eel's head off, and it's gone. Like, you can see out the mouth, because the mouth doesn't really close all the way. You can see, like, the eel's decapitated body floating around. Head's gone. Funny enough. Like, didn't pass it on the way up. That's a little weird. But, yeah, you know, you guys see stuff. So you look around real careful now this time, and you do see another hot spot, which you would guess would be where probably the brain is. But it's behind tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not getting in there without surgery.
Can you clear me a path there, and I, like, give him coordinates on his readout or something?
All right.
Clear me a hole so I can, I think that's where the, central mass is.
Okay. I'm gonna go in guns blazing.
Alright.
And as this is my advancement and perfectly cinematic, Strike 5 is going in full Strike 5. I'm taking Kamikaze as my advancement.
Okay.
And I'm gonna precision strike it.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I'm assuming you're rolling, you're not using the Kamikaze yet.
Kamikaze is a roll.
Yeah. To see if I live.
Oh, okay. I
So you're just emptying everything and then also wielding your mechs just so you can get to whatever the gooey center of this Tootsie Pop is.
I'm making a very big hole for a rocket to get in through.
Okay, fair enough.
And so this is the survival roll.
Moving on. All right, so Strike...
narrate what this looks like.
So I guess there's this big... You know, on my new map, there's a big red spot, and Strike 5 just launches at it, like, all six legs, kind of like the jumper mech that a 372 does, and launches at it, and just starts shooting his rapid laser at it, and as soon as he impacts, his entire tail just goes in and detonates in a huge explosion.
Okay.
Of shrapnel.
Seems good.
I'm flying in right behind.
The way is laid bare.
I'd like to be tumbling after.
Oh, you guys are falling, are getting down here now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, this is, I suppose, narratively posterior to whatever's happening here. Just, like, you know, also falling.
Well, getting down through the... Remember, they're on the other side of the sphincter, which you can't just accidentally pass through. It does require concerted effort. However, I am certainly all about letting you do that. We just want to get... I guess...
Yeah. My point is that at some point I'm going to do Alien Mind.
Okay. I'm good with that. But the point is that there's a way laid bare, and you see a thing with like a bunch of tubes, they're more like synapses. Like you can see energy arcing around them, connected to it, and that thing is...
It is an incredibly shiny, slick pod, just like you found at the center of the worms you've seen before. Huge amounts of energy is arcing through and to it. It is severe in a way that the others are not. It is just huge. Whatever's inside it must be massive.
Mm. Well, a little more energy couldn't hurt it. Or maybe it could.
But it looks like you could very easily, because you're not supposed to get anywhere near this, there was a whole bunch of brain and bone and cartilage that was just way too thick for normal weapons to get through. It's not well defended once it's in here. You could probably just snip those synapses and bring that whole thing right out.
I wasn't going to take it. I'm just going to fuck it up. Am I within melee range of it?
Sure. Oh, yeah. You can easily.
Then I'm going to try and stun it.
Okay.
And then launch missiles, assuming the stun doesn't utterly destroy it.
Is it a cardiac arrest?
Yeah, isn't your stun gun still broken?
No, I'm pretty sure I have time to fix it.
I'm pretty sure you
fixed all the bugs.
Oh, yeah.
I guess, yeah. Okay.
I mean...
I just remembered you said it to fibrillate, and I realize it's not the right word, but...
Yeah.
Defibrillate.
Well, no. He wanted to do the opposite of defibrillate.
Yeah.
Undefibrillate.
Well, that is 11 for guns blazing.
Okay.
2 damage, stun, and melee, and something else that I can't quite read. Plus 1 something.
Well, what does your stun gun look like? Is it just a gun in your hand?
No, it's more of like a net. It's a biological weapon that fires kind of a taser net of like electro grubs.
All right. Well, you just spew that net all over this cockpit thing, and electricity arcs through the synapses. They surge and then stop. However, the pod itself is unharmed.
Okay, missiles for that.
Just snip them and take it. It'd be cool. Take it up to the surface and step on it a bunch.
No, missiles.
All right. Well, let's see what your missiles look like.
These are Hornets.
That's a roll.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I was wondering what they really do.
They are.
Because you're not.
Yeah, it's not like it's going to dodge.
No. They're again, biological hornets that fly out and hit the thing and explode. It's 4 damage, loud and far. But it may hurt me, too, since I'm at close range here.
All right, well, they certainly... You launch them out, and they crash all over this pod. What? How much armor do you have?
1+1 right now.
Okay. Yeah, 2 armor.
Mm-hmm.
They are putting some slight cracks into this pod. How much... So you're going to be taking 2 total damage from this past armor?
Sure.
Your mech gets the blowback from the explosions. It looks like at the rate... that you're firing, you might be able to get through this thing, but you're not going to get through this.
Well,
you can just keep on going and...
Sounded to me like if we don't take this thing out, if we accomplish our mission, we lose. So I'm going to take this thing out.
Alright.
You came here for.
You fill the air with these bee things. And it is just thick in there. The heat is insane. And the shell just keeps cracking more and more. And some of the bees start burrowing in these cracks and they split it. It splits like metal rather than bone or sinew.
Mm.
And the last thing you see before the final explosion pierces your cockpit and rushes in a mass of this cloud is a final sunder just running head to tail across the cockpit.
Riff.
You pass into a peaceful state. Before you're horribly exploded. But you don't know that part.
No, I fired all the missiles. That's all that's important.
All right, back on the surface. Starfish, you're locked in sort of a grapple with 372 as you guys are tumbling down the shaft. You have anything that you want to do with this? Got any directives here, or are you going to let it take the initiative?
Well, my goal was to, because I had, stuck up on it and jumped it to just stun it. Because I don't care about it, I just want to
move
on now.
You stunned it, right, I got it. Okay, so that's actually relevant. So it's taking some stun here. So, you can... Are you going to, leap off of it and catch the wall and just let it tumble down, or take it all the way to the ground?
I don't want to go down.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm... Fuck it. I don't care anymore. This place seems really, electrifying.
Okay. So, the smoking rubble, you guys are going to be the ones to bear witness to this, because it was where you could see. The smoking rubble of where Artemis and Badger went down, you see Seraph, which is Badger's neck, kind of stagger out of the pile, and it's got this big smoking hole in the middle, but you can see, this white flesh rapidly, because remember, the stuff is rapid mutation, and it's just pouring into your cockpit now where you were. So you see this white fleshy material healing shut in that hole. And it sort of roars and breaks off all its armor is a full-fledged biomech underneath. So it's sort of, I guess it sort of looks like a little bit of a hairless, headless chicken.
It's very intimidating.
Right.
With guns.
Yeah.
I suppose more intimidating.
Yeah, the guns will actually still be mechanical guns, wired in, but its body is this big, white, fleshy body now. And it's kind of stalking around, looking for something to kill. And let's see, I think it's going to draw a bead on Zarin, the great traitor. This is, you can take control of this thing as you like.
So what happened to me exactly?
You're now one with Seraph. You are Seraph.
Which is good.
You're one physically, not just mentally. You couldn't be pulled out now if you wanted to. You were blown apart, but then you healed into it. So now you're just a monstrosity. In fact, maybe your face is sticking out the front of it
inside the cockpit, I imagine it kind of melded into the cockpit chair.
Mm-hmm.
How much damage did I end up taking after all that stuff plus the healing?
You're basically a new mech now.
Okay.
I'm sure you've got a pilot though, because you and your
You don't have a pilot anymore. You're just the mech. So I guess you've lost your whole pilot.
Word.
Woo. So yeah, I think Zarek, the Great Trader, should get shot in the face. Or wherever. What exactly are you doing right now? Just kind of watching, or...?
Well, Zarek just finished killing a thing. And depending on where in the timeline this is, it could be while that's happening, or she could have been bearing witness to... what was going on with the two of you?
I feel like a lot of the combat was simultaneous.
Where do you want it to be?
You can be anywhere you want, though.
Yeah. If you need us to tell it to answer for you,
yeah, then. It doesn't. If anybody has a good idea, you can go ahead. I don't have anything specific in my mind for it.
Can I put forward the motion and just? I know it's kind of a cop out, but can we just narrate? Because I'm getting tired too. I think everyone's kind of tired. Do we just want to have a narrative end from the DMs for the rest of this, and then?
Well, actually, I don't think that we really had a thing in mind here. We wanted to let the players like.
I have at least one thing that Ix has in mind to kind of close everything out.
I have like the final note of Grand Baby.
Well, you know what? Let's each have someone who wants to narrate a final scene. Narrate a final scene.
Okay.
And then we'll cover the rest.
So somebody have a scene that goes first.
Mine, I kind of have in mind for after retreating to safety.
All right, well, let's get you then. Do you want to have something?
What do you got, Graham?
Yeah. Okay. So the thing I got is perhaps the Zeri is still disentangling themselves from the spores. Is that what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As this monstrosity that was once Badger stomps a titanic, grotesque, pale flesh leg behind Zara while aiming her arm guns down at Zarin, when all of a sudden Baby bull rushes Badger's mech over, interspersing herself. She takes the guns, wow, it blows off at the shoulder joint, one of her arms, a death struggle ensues where Graham has once again lost control of Baby as Baby mercilessly jabs with her only arm left, taking bullets and whatever else your mech has. Weird bee things.
A lot of bullets, actually.
And all sorts of new mutations, and gross crap, and blood, and
tentacles.
So much tentacles.
It's a new face. As Graham tries to scream to Baby to take control back. Baby, what are you doing? Stop it! Baby, disengage! This is not the mission! Stop it, Baby! And then she hears, for a second, Baby's voice. The first time she's ever heard Baby's voice clearly. Zarin's heard Baby's voice, but Graham has never heard it, actually, in her own head. And Baby says, "No, I love Zarin," as she claws and digs at Badger's neck. And Graham's like, "No, that's impossible! You can't love Zarin! Zarin's an alien! She killed your sister's baby!" And Baby says, "No!" And Graham screams, "No! We're supposed to hate them, Baby! We're supposed to hate them!" As the final bullet from or tentacles skewers up through Baby's brain. It spirals for a second and then works back down as Baby falls limp and Graham trapped in the cooling, brutal embrace of Baby's dead heart suffocates to death. The end.
Holy shit! She has to slumber it!
So I think right before you die.
Okay? I hope that's okay.
Oh, I don't care. No, this is awesome. I took last stand specifically so that I could die horribly at one of your hands. I don't care whose. But I think before you die, as about half of Seraph lies intact, the other half kind of flattened, and it all just kind of oozing this horrible, like, blackish-greenish ichor, just kind of oozing everywhere, and a couple pieces of twisted metal still kind of lying about. I think you kind of feel a bit of a kind of a psychic poke, and it's the tiny little sliver that's left of Badger, or at least the being you knew as Badger. And it says, she says, "Graham, for the record, I thought you were pretty cool."
Alright, so this only leaves 372 at the mercy of Freddy and Ripper. Ripper hasn't done anything in a while.
I could be bothered.
I suppose.
If you don't want to, I did plan on coming to Starfish's rescue.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you break that test tube?
Oh, God. I can see those magical test tubes.
All right. One of the three of you right. Take control here.
All right. All right, what are you...
Actually, you know what? I'll give you the ray for now.
Well,
what do you want to do?
I want to see what happens. Which is why I want to... Now I want to see what's down there. And I want to see what's in the pod. I need to see it.
Okay.
I know it's there now. Because I have alien mind.
Okay, I got... Yeah,
whatever it is calling out for help as hard as it can.
And I am falling towards it.
Oh, you know what? You can hear it too.
Me.
Yes, you can, because you have any telepathic receptivity at all. Ix, this is also a scream in your head.
And,
Ix is five. Ix has a plan.
But I need to see what it is. And,
you four.
You hear over the open comm.
Well, technically.
Starfish! There's nothing down there. Only death. Come back. You're the only one who can finish this mission.
I feel like I understand the metaphorical statement that there's only death down there, but there's also literally a thing down there, and I really need to know what it is. I really, really, really need to know what it is. I need to see.
There is literally death down there.
Well, yeah, but there's also... literally something else that causes death down there.
I am so falling. Everything. I can explain everything. Just come back with me.
And I want to say that at this point, you know, I mean, there's layers and layers of flavor, obviously. But
yeah, but you pushed off 372,
yeah.
And you've just made a beeline directly into the gorge. You're swimming down. I feel like Freddy's a swimmer.
Freddy is absolutely a swimmer.
You're swimming down in there.
And it's all nice and warm and warm.
There's a decapitated giant eel rockfish thing in there. And there is the blasted waste.
Floating right in front of the entrance to this is Strike Five's body. His dead eye just looking...
Out from his Darth Vader mask.
Right. Well, I imagine this thing got blown to pieces.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So all that's left of him is looking straight at Starfish.
And
so he's just floating there.
And as I pass down, Freddy takes that into his mouth. And just keeps swimming.
There is just what looks like someone made a room whose walls were ketchup and then put dynamite inside of it. It is a circular room, and at the center is a cylindrical metallic pod which is venting some kind of liquid at an alarming rate, and it is screaming for help.
I go to it.
It's still screaming for help. Do you want to talk to it, or what's up?
I'm going to ask it.
You get
what's
all the way
wrong.
Down to this thing. It's about the size of your neck, actually. Mm-hmm.
And I think Freddy could probably breathe this stuff, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And just like trying to get my fingers around the edges and my tail around the edges, and I just can't. And I'm trying to figure out how to
open it.
Open it.
There is the area that's venting all this liquid is just a huge fissure. If you ripped it out, you could probably get to whatever's inside.
And I do.
You just scrabble and scrape. And inside is a wet old man suspended in this liquid, which vents out all at once. And he is screaming in your mind.
An old human. I want to make this clear.
Help me. Get me to safety. You can save me. Put me in your mech. Please. Anything. I can't be down here. I can't. Please help me.
And of course I will have him.
This, he's emaciated and completely naked. I assume he's in your
dry area.
Your dry one or your wet?
It doesn't matter at this point.
Well, he slithers inside your mech.
And I can feel him there in my body.
Mm-hmm. Thank God you came. You need to get me out of here. These people are trying to kill me, but you... I can see you are a man of reason.
I don't know if that would be... It would be assessing the situation, or reading the room.
Mm-hmm.
Or wrapping my head around a problem, or what it would be.
You could just know something. You can get a feeling. You can
what is it?
And get the feeling. This little old man was this thing. It was this intelligence. It was this creature. It. He is the thing that makes this planet go.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the age of the average colonist. They were all real young, 20-somethings, when they blasted off first to this planet. He is that age plus the number of years that has happened.
Okay, so...
He has been here since the start.
Okay, so I am going to... But he's human.
He is completely human. He's not even covered in mice biotech.
Okay, I'm going to take Miracle Day up to the surface.
Miracle Day?
Sorry, that's a reference we'll understand. But I don't know what's going on. All I know is that, you know, when I'm trying to swim up, I know that this guy can talk to me, but I'm really confused. What does it feel like? Is the place different? Does it feel the same? Is there anything else there but the sky?
Well,
intelligence.
When you pulled this guy out of the pond, you noticed a marked decrease in the spewing of this vapor. Okay. And you're actually having a hard time swimming back to the surface. Your buoyancy
has diminished.
It's diminished drastically. You're basically going to have to crawl back up there on the walls.
Okay.
You cannot float anymore. And he's...
When you crawl... As you're crawling out of the sphincter, right? Like, you guys are up... Or you guys are both up there on the surface, I guess, waiting to see if he comes out again.
I followed to the sphincter, but yeah.
As the... As Freddy comes crawling out again, 372 is taking aim, like, right at him. And he's like...
I grapple him.
Okay.
I guess that's...
You don't need to roll. You can just do what you want here.
Who am I aiming at, though?
Well, there's,
What weapons does Ripper have, anyway? I've only seen you, like, dance around.
Oh, no, I mean, I've got a... You got a magic weapon in there, right?
Oh, I remember the knife, actually.
There's still...
I actually haven't gotten to use it. It's specifically designed just to stab through the cockpit. Because it's a mech-sized knife.
So you jump on this thing, and you wrench its crocodile head back, and you slam your knife right from the jaw to the brain, or where the brain would be if this was a creature, and you skewer the pilot. You toss it down, the knife still jutting from the back of its maw. You are completely in the clear.
What is, what does Jessica think of this guy?
Jessica's not in the mech with you. She wasn't going to go into this combat. She's back on the ship somewhere.
Oh, I was taking an assumption that she was... Because she was around me during the rousing speech.
I wanted to bring it up, but it seemed like it wasn't something that people had patience for, more Jessica bullshit, so I assumed I would bring it up when it got in there. But you know what? She can be there if she wanted to be there.
It's all right. No one wants it, so I'll...
I mean, that was the thing
I just
that
want
I said.
More history of what's going on.
Yeah.
So.
Did you find out what you need to know?
Nope. Found this old guy, though.
He'll protect me. You are the other one. Please, take me home.
Let's get back to the ship. I think between me and the weird old guy, we've got all the answers we're going to need.
Yeah.
The Fist of Apollo touches down
and opens up the primary hangar doors, letting all the survivors pile in.
So, did you go back as well?
Well, I was going to let them finish up, and then.
Well, I have a thing that I want to be, but it's just as the ship is, like, the bay doors are closing, so.
I think you both have bay doors are closing actions.
Both a little bit before that and a little bit after that.
Okay, so why don't you narrate the before?
All right, so the before part is, Ix looks down on a baby, and knowing that Graham is inside.
Well, I suppose we call it a day.
She's talking to Graham.
I think Graham is supposed to have been suffocated to death.
She's working on it.
Well,
like, is this right?
She had left it that Graham was still alive.
She said that Graham suffocated to death.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
This could be as Graham was suffocating to death.
The idea was that it was a few minutes of cold, dark...
Lonely death.
Lonely death, yeah.
Well, I suppose we can offer you a ride home. Zarin... I am sorry for your loss, but you died defending ours.
Graham, you hear sort of a strange choke noise, and you're not sure, but you think it might be Graham just sobbing. Just sobbing. No words. It's a hard, hacking kind of sob. It's gasping because she's losing air, and that's all she does.
Zarin extends a tentacle down and places a one of those fancy telepathic links to offer one last moment.
Like, you're going to have to, like, stick it up in baby's chest cavity, if that's what you're trying to do.
Tentacles are good at that.
No.
Not particularly a problem for Zarin.
So you're just going to let her suffocate to death.
No. Zarin is offering the chance for life.
Graham's just crying. You're going to have to take her out of there.
If you want her alive.
Well, that's the purpose of the telepathic link, is to ask whether or not...
But Ix is talking to her right now. Why doesn't Ix miss that?
Because you're not answering.
Because you're not answering anymore. You're okay. Just sobbing.
Okay, so Graham's supposed to stop sobbing.
So now you have a link, and then Zarin, if you would please, give her
How you doing in there? Do you feel like dying today or not?
So you're hearing what Graham is thinking?
We're hearing the things that you're thinking, which can be...
Or they can be worse. It's like the sort of... cacophony that people generally like to overlay on soundtracks for hell. It's that kind of a thing. It's like the sound of the little girl's voices singing happy birthday, mixed with babies cooing, mixed with, you know, some weird shit from her childhood. And, you know, it's just all there. She's not really in control of anything at all anymore. She doesn't understand death as a concept. It's just, she's completely done, broken.
Well, Zarin.
Like, psychologically, he's on the way.
I don't know that saving her is heaven or hell. But we need to go. So
we don't have to
take her with us.
Alright! And you're yanked from the only thing that still loves you. Baby is cold and empty.
And Graham just shakes on the ground.
So you get back to the...
Yeah, so we're on our way back to the ship.
And as soon as they pile in, I think the bay doors start to close.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a hand. A metal hand. On the lip of the bay door. And a figure, charred and smoking, pulls itself up and rolls down into the bay. And it's probably was a person at one point. Half of it is random bionic parts. Some of it's just twisted metal. The other half is most of a charred skeleton. And it just lies there unmoving for a couple of seconds. And then what you thought was completely burned skeleton, you know, skeletal face on the left-hand side of its body, the eye opens and there's just one steely blue eye. They wouldn't let her die.
So then on the ship, Ix looks to Graham. Well, Graham, the only peace I can offer you is the only peace I have ever found. Revenge. And she looks to the wonderful stockpile of weaponry that she was allowed access to in our last session that has now been loaded with mutagen to kill.
You have a massive battery of weasel that you can disperse on this whole region of the planet.
Yeah.
This continent will explode.
If you shoot into the Sliss Cloud, won't it hit everything that the Sliss Cloud hits? It
certainly could do that, too. Maybe.
What do you say, Graham? And she has, like, a hand up above the, basically the button for the cargo bay door to drop all of it.
I say, we can never win this battle. But we might as well make them hurt.
Oh. This will hurt first.
What does it look like?
Well, the effect of weasel in the very first place is that it makes you go pop. You have just a couple of seconds to realize that you are about to explode to death. Everything affected by this, which at the very least is the region of the planet that we can see.
That is true. You drop it directly in the Sliss Cloud, and these weasel is just carried on the winds for hundreds of miles.
I mean, the way that I envisioned it was that it created sort of corpuscles of gas along the spinal column that then exploded with a sort of mutagenic gas that would then infect all other people that it touched as an airborne sort of situation, that would either cause them to mutate depending on the concentration that hit them or in turn be infected with weasel, which has about a 5-day gestation rate. So, you know.
Which one do you want?
she is the master at this sort of thing.
Then that terrible fate befalls this entire moon about 5 days after they ran out of power.
Jesus Christ.
Who runs out of power?
The plants.
The mice. They were drawing their power from the electroplasm.
And
campaign.
Well, for those who are not completely exhausted, we have some celebratory drinks.
This podcast is fully copyrighted by its hosts. Visit us at podcastmagicmissile.com. I Podcast Magic Missile, attacking the darkness since 2012.